seemingly inconsistent words or concepts placed side by side. Jumbo shrimp is an example. Jumbo means big, shrimp means small. An oxymoron can be funny, but in theology, it's a necessity that allows us to hold in tension truths that are seemingly inconsistent. As Christian theologians, we are called to live with paradox. Two seemingly inconsistent truths form a paradox. These truths are usually at the line between human finitude, meaning limitation, and God's infinite nature. Our ability to grasp is limited. Therefore, we have to be able to describe God and God's nature in terms that are seemingly inconsistent. Theologians are not the only ones who have to do this. Physicists have to say that light is both a particle and a wave in order to describe how light works in different circumstances. Albert Einstein spent the last decades of his life trying to come up with a unified theory that would explain how both could be true at the same time. And he couldn't do it. So for now, anyway, physicists have to say both. Light is both a wave and a particle. It's a paradox. Theologians say that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. Human logic tells us that something is either one or the other. But human logic is just that. Human, finite, limited. So which is it? Do we trust our human logic and say that Jesus was not God because he was human? Or do we deny that Jesus was fully human because we know that Jesus was God? And we cannot allow ourselves to hold an inconsistency in our logical brains. Or do we try to come up with some compromise position that makes God a very good human that was later adopted by God? The church over the centuries has rejected anything less than saying Jesus was 100% human and 100% divine. Both are true and are seemingly inconsistent, a paradox. Paul, a scholar who had studied Hebrew scripture and was very aware of the problem of calling Jesus God, explains to the Corinthians that a reliance on human wisdom is misplaced. Paul is teaching the Corinthians a very important principle of biblical interpretation. God's wisdom is not ours. And our wisdom is not God's. Throughout the scriptures, God has done things in God's own way, using God's own wisdom. This serves two very important purposes. We cannot boast that we accomplish God's purpose through our own strength. And we cannot decline God's call because we're not able. Paul begins today's second epistle reading with a quote from Isaiah 29. In chapter 1, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is referring to Isaiah 29, 14, when he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." End quote. Remember, the scripture Paul had to work with was the Hebrew scripture, what we commonly refer to as the Old Testament. One theme that Paul recognized running through the Old Testament is that God does not rely on humans to understand or to be strong, but God supplies the strength or the understanding. Consider Abraham and Sarah. Who would choose a 99-year-old man and his wife who was beyond childbearing years to bear a child to become the father of a nation? God would. Such a choice is neither logical nor reasonable in terms of human understanding. In fact, it seems so preposterous that Sarah laughed. But regardless of the foolishness of the idea, and regardless of the weakness and old age of Abraham and Sarah, it happened. God used them in their old age for God's purpose. God provided the strength. Consider Gideon. Gideon was one of the judges of Israel. When God called him, he asked God, "But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." God chose him anyway. Then, when Gideon raised an army to fight the Midianites, God told Gideon that he had too many men. God told Gideon that so many warriors would take credit for the victory instead of giving God the credit. God had Gideon reduce his army from 32,000 to 300. Who would tell a man to send his army home before a battle? God would. God used a small band of 300 warriors to frighten the Midianites into killing each other, giving Gideon and the Israelites the victory. God provided the strength. Consider Moses. Who would send a man with a speech impediment who had murdered an Egyptian to ask Pharaoh to let the Jews go free? God would. It has always amazed me that God chose to use Moses in this way. I remember reading the story of Moses thinking, why didn't God just let Moses become Pharaoh? You know, the Pharaoh that Moses was talking to was his little brother. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and was in the line of kingly succession. In the movie, The Ten Commandments, the Pharaoh that Moses goes to speak to is Ramses, his little brother. If Moses had been the Pharaoh, he could have sent the Israelites home with chariots to carry their belongings. God did not do the expected thing. God did not choose to act through human strength. God has a higher purpose. God provides the strength. The Bible is full of seemingly foolish ideas. The Bible is full of weak, imperfect people being called to act in furtherance of God's purposes. In other words, God uses broken vessels. This is both a consolation and unsettling. Because God uses broken vessels, God can use me. Because God uses broken vessels, I have no excuse. Paul is also making another point. Since Paul had left Corinth, disagreements had grown up among the Corinthians. The Corinthians were splitting themselves up according to which leader they liked best. They were being swayed by whichever leader had the greatest eloquence. It even seems that they were adopting some of the practices of the Greek mystery religions, which emphasize the importance of certain special knowledge. Paul was telling them not to rely on knowledge and strength or pretty speech, but come together under the sign of the cross, a foolish sounding idea. Paul says it this way: we proclaim Christ crucified. You see, for those who were Jewish, the idea that a Messiah was killed on a cross was ridiculous. A Messiah, by definition, was an anointed leader of God who would lead his people to victory. An anointing was a sign of strength. The cross was the ultimate symbol of defeat and humiliation. Jewish scripture even said that a man hung on a tree was cursed by God. The cross, therefore, was a stumbling block to Jews. Likewise, the cross was foolishness to the Greeks. The Greeks were raised on stories of the gods who did not feel the pain of the world. Furthermore, gods were superhuman and did not die. Gods could not be affected by human beings, and certainly not killed on a cross. Paul is telling the Corinthians they have to view God's plan through the cross. Who would choose a king to die on a cross? God would. As foolish as it may sound, God chose to send Jesus as God with us in human form. Jesus entered the world as a child born in the lowest of circumstances. Jesus experienced life as a peasant and worked to alleviate the suffering of those around him. Jesus experienced death on a cross and was raised from the dead for us. This plan of God's seems like foolishness. Wouldn't it have been easier just to come in power? Wouldn't it have been easier to lead a band of angels to push the Romans out, set up a new kingdom? Isn't this what Satan was trying to tell Jesus when he was tempting him in the wilderness? God has a plan and a promise. Regardless how foolish the plan may sound, God knows best, and we can rely on God's plan. We get ourselves into trouble when we start to figure out a better way. We get ourselves into trouble when we rely on our own strength. Remember when Peter rebuked Jesus after Jesus said he was going to suffer and die? Peter was using human wisdom. Jesus told Peter just that when he said that Peter was, quote, setting his mind not on divine things, but on human things, end quote. God chose the cross. God chose to liberate us from death by demonstrating willingness to die for us and be resurrected for us. Jesus was the victim of capital punishment inflicted by a corrupt government. Jesus was not the conquering son of David the Jews expected. Jesus was not a Herculean son of Zeus that the Gentiles could understand. Paul tells us that God's foolishness is wiser than our wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than our strength. Thanks be to God that we do not have to rely on our own strength or our own understanding. Thanks be to God that we can look to the cross as a symbol of what God through Jesus Christ was willing to do for us. Thanks be to God that even in our human weakness, God can and will use each of us transforming and redeeming us into God's strong weakness. Amen.